You know, it's a classic, one plus one equals three. So, some really good math on that transaction. I think it's created a lot of value for shareholders. And I've been kind of blown away by the amount of volume this name has attracted in trading. I mean, the company is coming up to its 1 year anniversary as a public company. So, you know, mid-November 2024. And I think we traded, I was checking yesterday, 133 million shares. We traded, you know, in pre-money, we only had post-merger the 140 million shares out. Since the merger closed in August 1st, we traded like 82 million shares. And just this week alone, we've traded, we're probably pushing by the end of the day here, we'll probably be close to 30 million shares. So pretty remarkable amount of interest in the story.
Good day, everybody. We got Gary Thompson, Executive Chairman of Silver 47. How are you, Gary?
Doing well. Dave, good to see you again.
Good to see you. We got a lot going on with Silver 47. We got some big news going on. We got some merger news, if you can kind of bring us up to speed.
Sure. Yeah, it's been a busy few months for us. So, August 1st, Silver 47 concluded the merger with Suma Silver, and yeah, it's been pretty exciting putting that story together. You know, it's a classic one plus one equals three. So some really good math on that transaction. I think it's created a lot of value for shareholders. And I've been kind of blown away by the amount of volume this name has attracted in trading. I mean, the company is coming up to its 1 year anniversary as a public company. So, you know, mid-November 2024. And I think we traded, I was checking yesterday, 133 million shares. We traded, you know, in pre-money, we only had post-merger the 140 million shares out. Since the merger closed in August 1st, we traded like 82 million shares. And just this week alone, we've traded, we're probably pushing by the end of the day here, we'll probably be close to 30 million shares. So pretty remarkable amount of interest in the story. And you know, on a combined basis, you know, we're something like 236 million ounces silver equivalent on an inferred category. So pretty exciting news. And obviously with silver breaking past that $40 hurdle, which we've been eyeing for some time, is exciting. And of course, probably the next go-to is probably going to be $50 silver, which will be quite exciting when, you know, when we you know, break that point, I think.
Silver has yet to catch up to gold, and so a lot of upside there still. What did you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's exactly right. You know, gold's had a major move over the last few years, really, and silver's been slow to catch up. And I think a lot of people that are in the space, you know that silver, when it starts moving, it's going to rip. And yeah, you know, a lot of people are, you know, talking triple digit silver, and I'm kind of moving into that camp as well. I think there's no reason why we can't see a triple digit north of $100 silver, but let's get through 50 first, and then I think it's wide open after that.
Gary, you've got more activity than you've had like ever, or it's been a lot. So what's accounting for the activity? Why are people excited about and see the potential with the merger? You said one plus one equals three. Can you tell us what kind of assets and what kind of addition are we talking about here?
Yeah. So, well, the main asset, the most advanced asset, is Red Mountain in Alaska. It's a polymetallic, precious metal rich, so silver, gold, zinc, lead, copper, plus significant amounts of critical minerals. And, you know, we're still going through a lot of that information from the previous workers, but we're finding, you know, stuff like antimony, gallium, indium, that hasn't really been reported in the resource. And so, you know, the inferred resource right now that exists is 168 million silver equivalent ounces, and that's at 336 grams per ton silver EQ on a combined basis, and using pretty conservative metal prices, and you know our recovery rates are quite strong in that 70 to 90 plus percent range on recoveries, and that's some of the work that we're doing this year. So we're just wrapping up. You know, we had a small drill program in 2024, and in 2025, we're just in the process of kind of wrapping up the season as winter is approaching. But we did a fair amount of drilling on the two main resource areas, Dry Creek and West Tundra Flats, and trying to look for an expansion. And there's some holes and some gaps in the data. So trying to infill that. And, you know, the goal for us is to get all that modeled up, and hopefully we can come out with a higher restated resource. What we'd like to see is a year over year or, you know, increasing resource. We think there's lots of room to grow. And what's exciting is, you know, we had a lot of boots on the ground this year, and we found some new areas of mineralization. You've got, you know, massive sulfide style mineralization sticking out of the ground here that hasn't been drilled. So lots of room to find new discoveries. It's a big trend, and we own a lot of ground there. And so that's really exciting for us to get that moving. And ultimately we want to get that into a PEA, hopefully in the next year or two, perhaps, depending on how the data comes together. But it's, you know, it's an advanced state project, and we see a clear path to development there. So that's the main flagship for us. And now, of course, with the SUMA merger, now we've got these other two projects in New Mexico called Mogollon, which was a past producer of high-grade silver gold. And there's a substantial resource that was put out on that recently. So we want to get a couple of drills going this fall through the winter on Mogollon, and get as much drilling as we can over the course of the winter, and again, see if we can get an updated resource on that. And then we can shift gears into Nevada, probably in early part of the new year. And on the Tonopah, again, it has a resource established, which is on the eastern side of the Tonopah district. And the viewers probably know or may know Black Rock Silver, which is on the west side of the district. And they're about 108 million ounces silver equivalent. And I think we're pushing that 40 million ounces mark. And we think there's lots of room to grow that. And in addition, in Nevada, we have an interesting, very high grade project called Kennedy, which had some historical drilling. And we recently staked a bunch of new claims. So fairly early stage project, but pulled some pretty remarkable high grade silver and gold surface samples recently. So we want to get some more work on that and get that to a point where we can start drilling. So lots on the go, you know, for projects. And obviously our goal is to grow ounces. We're trying to, you know, we still have an ambition to get to 1 billion ounces of silver equivalent. So we continue to look at M&A opportunities, you know, with a U.S. Primary focus.
So you guys got several in Alaska, you got Nevada, New Mexico. I mean, you've got great jurisdictions, you got great projects, potential. You got Kennedy, you said that's been producing in the past. And so if you can tell us about kind of what benefit does that give Silver 47, and especially when it comes to winter time, or, you know, to have three different spots where you got so much potential, but also you got so much, you know, different projects.
Yeah, well, I think what helps us out for, like, Alaska is a great place to do work and exploration. But for the winter months, it's, you know, we're looking at potentially drilling there in the winter, but, you know, that's a ways off. And it's just generally more expensive to operate when you're dealing with winter freeze up and moving snow and stuff like that. So having projects in like Nevada or New Mexico, we don't have those issues, so we can operate quite easily there. So it kind of smooths out what would have been without that merger and those assets, a bit of a seasonality issue, because typically you wait you'd wait till next season to go back there. So we'd lose 5 or 6 months of drilling activity. And for a junior company, not to have news flow for 6 months is pretty tough. So we can round out our activity and our news flow by having multiple projects in different jurisdictions. And obviously being in the U.S. is one of the most favored mining spots right now in the world.
Gary, if you can talk about the activity again, you got a huge amount of activity. Why are investors so, I guess, what's the main reason for the optimism?
You know, the interest is really we're seeing a lot of new investors coming into the space now. And obviously with silver breaking out over $40, going to 50, we're starting to see money come back into the junior mining space, which has been, you know, it's been a tough last decade. But we are seeing capital flows in, and a good example of that is, you know, we went out to raise $14 million, and within a day it was full and oversubscribed to $23 million. So that's in one day. I haven't seen a financing go that quick, pretty much in all my exploration activities. So I think that says something just about the general appetite for investors, and also, you know, the opportunity. And I would say look at our value of the company and the ounces in the ground. If you just look at the valuation on enterprise value, our ounces in the ground are quite cheap compared to some of our competitors are in the multi-dollar per ounce in the ground. So I think it's a compelling investment opportunity. We're still cheap on a relative basis to our peers, and lots of upside for new discoveries and you know, basically looking to grow that resource.
Gary, you've got a lot of capital. If you can tell us kind of what the plan is to move the company forward, tell us what you plan to do to grow the company.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, there's two ways to grow the company in this business. It's through the drill bit. So we plan to do that. So we're going to be shifting gears from Alaska into New Mexico here in the fall months, with a couple drills turning all winter, and then shifting gears in the early part of 2026 into Nevada to continue to drill on Tonopah. So looking to grow the ounces through the drill bit. But in addition to that, we're looking at M&A opportunities. So that's another way to grow, is adding ounces on the books through additional acquisitions. And so we'll continue to look for like-minded companies and assets that we find attractive and accretive to shareholders. And we'll see if we can bring those in to continue to grow our ounces in this company. And, you know, ultimately move these along the development curve towards a mine. One day, that's the goal here, is advance these projects as quickly as we can through drilling and advance up the curve.
If you could just one more time provide your ticker, website, and email.
Sure. Yeah, the ticker is AGA on the TSXV, and then on the OTCQB it's AGAF, and the website is silver47.ca. And you can reach me at gthompson@silver47.ca.
Thanks for coming on our show once again, and hope to continue to follow your story.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.